what makes a place a sacred place is not anything that humans have done. It's the nature of the place. So what we call sacred places are places that were put in the world because they have certain gifts and blessings to offer people. So, you know, the physical appearance of the place as a geological form is a kind of a disguise. One of the things that makes a sacred place is that sacred places have certain special spiritual doorways. And when those doorways are approached in what the site itself considers to be a proper way, great blessings can arrive through those doorways and help people. So, you know, the answer to your question is, the simplest way to say it is that that's just what it is by nature. That's what it was brought forth as. Along with the place, there also arises the, you could call it the pathway, the protocols and instructions about how to approach it in the right way, so that the engagement is one that brings blessings rather than misfortune, because it can produce misfortune, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes a lot stronger than that. So great blessings, great benefits are available, but because of that greatness, they have to be dealt with a great deal of care. And one also has to realize that there's many, I mean, I don't know how many, but certainly millions at least, of sacred places in the world or everywhere. But of all those, no matter if you find yourself attracted to them or not, there's only a very few that you could say you really have business with. A great deal of care is wise. There's another story that comes to mind about the offerings thing. You know, there's this woman, she was visiting the ocean, and she realized that the ocean is a great sacred site. It's one of the most generous and approachable of them, but still, it's a sacred site. And she had heard, because she, you know, she knew people in the sacred fire community who make pilgrimage to the ocean and stuff, and she had heard that the ocean likes offerings of chocolate. So she went there and she offered chocolate. But at least in that part of the world, the ocean says that for you to offer me chocolate requires that you have what I'm going to call a formal relationship with me. That is a relationship that's done according to the pathways and the protocols. And this person didn't. She was really just a tourist. Spiritual tourist, but still a tourist. So she placed the chocolate in the offering, and it made her very ill. In a way, it was fine, found to make amends for it, and it turned out okay, but it's another cautionary tale. The subject, and since no other questions are arising, I'll also say that different sacred sites have what you can translate as different personalities. And some of them are more easy to get along with, some of them are very hard to get along with, some of them can be, you know, many sacred sites, particularly. Well, I can only speak about this part of the world, meaning Western Hemisphere. Many of the sacred sites have been ignored and even desecrated by the human beings for sometimes several hundred years. And some of them can get pretty pissed off about that. And one you want to be particularly careful about your interaction with. But of course, the main thing for almost everybody these days is, how do you know? And the thing is, we don't know. Why? Because the elders who have held these relationships and these protocols, where are they? They're very hard to come by. You don't grow up in a village where, you know, just this is just part of their life, and people naturally come to know these things. Some through example, and some through teaching, and so forth.
So when you're giving an offering, how do you know if it's the appropriate offering?
Well, that's exactly the question. It's hard to know. So since it's so hard to know, and it's kind of a high-stakes game, you won't go wrong by being very conservative about it. You know, for example, you could say, I really appreciate you, and I appreciate being here with you, and I'd like to offer you something, but I don't really know what you like. So out of respect for you, I'm just going to offer you my gratitude. And you won't go wrong with that.
What about with something that you're more familiar with, like a river by your...
Like what?
Like a river by your home, or mm-hmm. something that you, a piece of nature that you interact with more often.
Mm-hmm.
Would you meditate on that? How would you, if you wanted to offer it something?
Well, what I would really advise, if you want to do like something like that, take the counsel of somebody who can give you the counsel about it. So, like in the old days, you go to the local elder who has a relationship with the place and ask him or her. But again, that's a little hard to come by. A little less hard to come by, but still not so easy to come by, is that there are some shamans who have the ability to, even with the briefest of interactions, they engage in, let's call it a conversation with the place, and they can tell you an awful lot about it. But it's not so easy to come across people like that either.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some. But you want to be careful about people appoint themselves or claim that capacity for themselves, because that's not really the way it works. So let me tell you a story.
Okay.
So when I was just starting my apprenticeship, you know, and then as now, except not as intensely as now, doing quite a bit of traveling around and stuff like that. And my teacher was a person who hadn't been in his whole life, and he was an elder at the time, maybe no more than 200 miles from the place of his birth. So he was kind of interested, and he said, why don't you take me to California once sometime? I'd be very interested to hear what the gods have to say in California. So I did. The first place I took him to was a sacred mountain in California. He looked at it in silence for probably no more than maybe 5 minutes at the very most. And then he started to tell me a lot of the lore about the place, what was available there, how the indigenous people used to approach it, what sort of offerings they gave, and so on. And he talked at some length. And he also said at one point, he said, this is a really good place. He said, I could come here, and between 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning, I'd see this big ball of fire coming out of the sky, and I'd catch that with my feathers and put it in my medicine basket, and then I could heal people with that. That was one of the things he said. So as we were leaving the place, and by the way, when we were there, there was two small groups of people there. One were some people who came along with me and my teacher. And then there was a medicine man from Nevada. He was a Shoshone, I think. Were Shoshones in Nevada? Anyway, one of the indigenous people. And he was the real article. And so anyway, he did some prayers and stuff, and he gave a little talk. And my teacher did something I never knew him to do before or since. He gave a talk, and he talked about this place. And he said, you know, this is a very important place. He said, this place is one of the centers of the universe. And it would be very important for the young people to learn about this place. So anyways, I guess that's a little bit of a side note. So as we were walking out, I was talking with the white guy who had guided us there. And he was a guy who, from very early age, had a strong feeling for this place, and he considered it to be his spiritual teacher. He started going there at the age of 5 years old, and he spent the night there, and so on and so forth. So, anyways, as we were walking out, I said, would you like to know what Dong Lupe said about this place? He said, oh yeah. So I started telling him about this lore that he told me about, and his jaw dropped. He said, you know, there's still two elders that I know of who, this is one of their medicine places. And they told me a few things, and everything that he said was something that these two people had told him. And then and he said, and here's something I've never told anybody before, so I don't want people to think I'm crazy. But I've been seeing that ball of fire coming out of the sky since I was 8 years old. He said, does that count? Can I be a healer now? And he laughed a little bit like you're laughing. He said, no, that doesn't count. You've got to catch it with your feathers and put it in your basket. So, anyway, the point of the story, I guess, is that there are some people, shamans, who have that kind of capacity to, even at a very, very quickly, short engagement, tune into or receive an awful lot about what the place is all about and what are the ways to approach it properly. So, but as I say, it's not so easy to come across people like that. There are a lot of people who sort of declare to themselves or claim that they have that capacity, but I think it's wise to be a little suspicious about that, because there can be a lot of wishful thinking that comes in, a lot of self-aggrandizement and so forth. But anyway, that's what I was referring to. Just to tell you a little bit more of the story, because I think it's interesting. So when he said that thing about, you know, it's important for the younger people to know about this place, so I said to him, well, I'm a younger person, I'd like to know about this place, would you take me here? And he said, well, ask me in the morning, which meant he had to dream about it. So the next morning I asked him, and he agreed he was going to take me there. So he took me there, and there were a few other people who came along, and we did a formal pilgrimage. And sometime during the night, he said, the sacred site was a little bit huffy with me. He said, what are you doing here? This is not your place. He said, I don't want you to come back here.
Do not want you to come back?
Yeah.
To
Don
Lupe.
Huh?
To Don Lupe.
Yeah. So that to Don Lupe. So, he did something, looking back on it now, if I knew then what I know now, I would have found this very scary, because very, well, at least in our tradition, things aren't done this way. But he handed it over to me to take people there. And I think in the end, it was because the mountain asked him to, you know. But, I wasn't even a shaman then, let alone a shaman who, you know, in my tradition, you have to get to a certain level of initiation beyond the initial initiation of becoming a shaman to lead other people to sacred places. And I was years and years away from that. But anyway, so I started taking people there. And I got a lot from that place, and I've taken many people there. I've been there every year for 20-some-odd years now. So it worked out, but oh my gosh. There was one of those rare cases in which my innocence and ignorance, in a way, kind of protected me. I wouldn't count on something like that, you know. Especially knowing that he was quite a trickster and seemed to take great pleasure in giving people bad advice and seeing what kind of trouble they got into. Which is just part of the deal in that particular game.